Welcome to Disarming Persuasion, the podcast for sales and business leadership professionals. My name is Dave Rosenberg, and I am the founder and principal at Locked On Leadership, a consulting firm with a mission to replace Thank God It's Friday with Thank God It's Monday.
And I'm Ann Bonney, redhead impersonator and an expert in change management and leadership that people want to follow.
Okay, Ann. What are we going to talk about today?
You know, Dave, since we are about to meet up at an industry conference, why don't we talk about the value of going to conferences and going to networking events and things like that?
Persuade me this is a good idea.
Well, you know, one of the greatest things that I've gotten out of being in our association is people like you, is friends and contacts in the industry where I can call up every once in a while and say, hey, Dave, I have this leadership problem, or hey, Dave, I've got this challenge, or have you ever dealt with this? And being able to have a network of people to help you get through stuff and figure stuff out and get a different perspective is so super valuable.
No, it's huge. First of all, we're in an insular business. I remember getting started and just sitting at my desk day in, day out, just trudging along. It's like, and you know, before my first influence, the name of the conference is Influence. So that when we talk about influence, we are talking about influence, but we're also talking about the conference.
The Speakers Association Conference.
Yeah, National Speakers Association Annual Conference. It's called Influence, been going on for, I don't know how many decades now.
It's the 50-year celebration this year. We were born the same year, Dave.
So that was five decades. I could do that math.
Good.
I actually knew it was the 50th and completely forgot at the same time.
That's I wish I could forget.
That's because I'm not a redhead. Well, trust me, as you get past 50, forgetting is a skill you really get good at.
It's much easier, huh?
Oh, yeah. You don't even have to, I don't have to put any effort into it. It just comes naturally at this point. But yeah, I mean, it is beneficial. And, you know, actually what just happened to me last month too, where one of our members, you know, called in a panic, emailed actually in a panic because she was in a car accident and she was missing her flight and she had a gig here in San Diego the next day. And yeah, I got to step in for her, which was a ton of fun. And, you know, I know, God forbid, hasn't happened to me yet, but you know, in this business long enough, it's going to happen. I could do that as well. So,
well, and to move it to careers outside of the speaking industry, the same thing could happen with a job. Oh my gosh, Dave, they call you up on the phone. I saw on LinkedIn or I saw on social media that you're between jobs. We are hiring and we need you. I know you, I like you, because we have made those connections. So it's kind of the power of networking.
And all that is obviously true. That's why I said, and when I was in the moving and storage business, wasn't the first conference I ever went to. Now that I'm thinking about this, to your point, when I was in telecom and the manufacturer who we represented would put on regional conferences, well, I met our biggest competitor here in San Diego. 2 years later, became my employer. Mm-hmm. You know, I became disgruntled. I lost my gruntle.
No more gruntled.
Right. I wasn't gruntled anymore. I was disgruntled. And I remember picking up the phone and calling a guy by the name of Alan Frischman, who became a very good friend of mine. Right. But at the time, he was the enemy. I went over to the dark side only to realize that I had been on the dark side.
Yeah. Right. Oh, crap. I was on the wrong side.
Yeah. And so, you know, but then when I was moving in storage, the relationships I created with the other, owners, I wasn't an owner, but I was the president of the company, and the other owners and executives at other moving companies, I remember, even here in town where we were allegedly competitors, but I could pick up and say, hey, how do you handle this? And everybody was giving. Mm-hmm. And they would do the same with me. They'd call up because we were really strong and local. And what advice do you have? Or how did you do this? What do you do? Or what are your numbers? Whatever. And we shared.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the strongest things that I've been able to do because I have contacts in my industry is recommend other people. You know, I mean, there's the classic story about Santa from Macy's. Oh, it was Miracle on 34th Street. The Santa from Macy's send in customers to other stores because they had what they wanted. Now, you know, rather than saying we just lost money, no, we just made a more loyal customer because we created a connection that they actually needed that was more valuable than the one that we had. And by, you know, and I love our association, the Speakers Association, because the whole motto behind it is there's enough pie for everyone. And if not, let's build a bigger pie. It's not us getting there and being competitors in the same room. It's us in there supporting each other, learning from each other. And like the situation happened with you, when we're in an emergency and we need somebody, we have those connections to call. Or when I want to say, hey, I know you're not going to hire me for your keynote next year because I did this year, but here are four other speakers who are really awesome, who I think your people would love.
Yeah. Or I've had people say, hey, my board has directed me to look for a futurist. Well, I'm not a futurist. I don't play one on TV. And heck, I didn't even sleep at a Holiday Inn last night. So I'm like, okay. And, you know, one of the things they teach you, of course, when you're is don't be all things to all people, right? I mean, I guess I could have said, oh, I can do futurism and then like done a bunch of research. It's not me. It's not who I am. It's not what I want to do. I don't get excited about it, yada, yada, yada. But what I did do is say, oh, give my buddy Dan Barris a call, right? And, you know, he's a phenomenal futurist. I don't know whether he got the gig or not. That's not even the point of the story. The point of the story is I was able to be a resource. I was able to be Santa Claus he worked for Macy's. I can't remember. Yeah.
Yep, he was the Macy's.
And send him to Gimbel's. And I was able to send him to Gimbel's.
That's right. I forgot what the other department store was. Well, yeah, exactly. And being able to not only make those connections for your customers, but for yourself. You know, for your interns, there's just differences. And if we see it that way, rather than, oh, they're competitors, we can never, you know, we end up getting so much out of those relationships.
And here's what happens when you do this, folks. So, and I've talked about this before, right? In fact, you're probably tired of hearing about my accountability triangle. And when you are doing this, when you are supporting your competitors, alleged competitors, they're not. And you know, and remind me to come back to why they're not competitors, okay? But when you're supporting your quote, air quotes, folks, competitors, what you're really doing is modeling thinking about others, being focused on the customer, being focused outwardly to your team members. When they see you doing it to your competitors, and then you come to them and say, listen, I know you may not like this, but I think this is best for you.
They trust you.
They trust you. They go, I'm not seeing it like you are, but it's not a no way. It's a I must be not seeing something, as opposed to a heck no, right? Mm-hmm. Because they've already seen you do this with other people where you have their best interest at heart.
Right. Yeah. And we come back to it again and again and again when we talk about leadership, communication, persuasion, negotiation, all those things, it all comes down to trust. And if we can build that trust inside our industry with our customers and outside of our industry, we can't lose.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I could probably take my accountability triangle and make it an accountability point. Single point, right? The point is,
it makes a tough diagram for your graphic designer.
That's the problem. It's like a dot up there. It's like, oh, you know, they're not very dynamic. So you need at least three.
Here's a dot.
Right. And the reality is, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but the human brain likes threes. That's why you always hear things repeated three times, because it creates a pattern. And the human brain likes patterns.
Right? And the reason comedy works is because you create a pattern and then you break it with the third thing.
Right. Bam. Right. That was. Don't play one on TV. I'm not a lawyer. Don't play one on TV. And I slept at, you know, Holiday Inn, which was the commercial.
Oh, right. Which I didn't get because I didn't have the reference, but that's okay. It was funny to somebody.
When I used it in my keynote, they laughed.
Oh, maybe, good.
Yeah. That's the important one. Right. But the point being, I have no idea. Right. Let's get off this three thing. The point being, brain likes threes. Going to conferences, creating those relationships, It strengthens you. It models, and it models more than just that, right? Because how many times have you worked for a company? And I don't know if it was like this for you at Under Armour. I suspect not from what I've read about the company, but where departments start being siloed and being insular. No, this is me. Oh, you want this thing? I need that form in triplicate, but I need it right now. You know, I don't care. Got to do it in triplicate, and it has to be signed by the proper authorities or you're not getting it, because that's my right. But the company's going to collapse without it.
It was there when I left. But when I started with 80 people, we were not there. We were all doing whatever we needed to, signing whatever we needed to with whoever's signature.
Right. And so that is a model of protecting your tail. And right. If you want to avoid that, because that's the death knell. You know, the whole reason Tony Hsieh before he passed away, of course, but Tony Hsieh at Zappos Shoes adopted Holacracy, which apparently didn't work out like he'd hoped. But the reason he adopted it, forget about whether it was a good idea, was he was trying to keep his company nimble like it was when it was small.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And so when you get involved in associations, become giving to your air quote competitors, then your team members realize, you know what, we need to protect and take care of each other. Because if we could do it with the person who's trying to take our clients, we could do it with the people who are trying to support our clients.
Right. Well, in the end of the day, if you have those personal relationships and those that professional respect, you're not going to try to take their clients. You're going to work together to make, you know, I mean, it's the benefits of that level of connection are far reaching. And a lot of people, I think, don't join those things because they're awkward, because they, you know, they think it's uncomfortable to go with a bunch of strangers. But ultimately, that it's really just that activation energy. It's that first bit before you get your foot in the door. I mean, I just did, I was telling Dave about it, you about it, before we started this. I was talking to our audience, Dave. I was talking to Dave about it prior to coming to starting this interview. I just did a keynote on a cruise ship, and they chose to put me on the cruise rather than, well, I mean, they kind of had to put me on the cruise because the time of my keynote was when we were in the middle of the Atlantic. So either they had to hire a really expensive helicopter to fly me between Florida and the Bahamas to get on the ship to do my keynote, or they just put me on the ship. So I was on a cruise by myself, knowing nobody except the other people that were at the conference, but they were only 1/10 of the people on the boat. So there's 400 teachers at this conference and 4,000 people on this massive mall of a cruise ship. I'd never been on one before. It was crazy. But when I identified those teachers, it was just that first moment of walk up and put my hand out and introduce myself that was uncomfortable. Then we would talk, how's your day? What are you up to? What are you looking forward to? What have you enjoyed out of this? I had all those questions kind of in my back pocket so that I could make that interaction less awkward and actually make a real connection with those people, which, you know, makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah. And, you know, you didn't even have the benefit of being, quote, the opening keynote, because, you know, folks, once you're on, when you're on stage, you get off stage and everybody, you know,
they know you.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Right. Anne was the closer. It was 10:30 at night on the last night. So the next day, everybody went their separate ways.
So there are 3 days of hanging out in the sun in the Bahamas, drinking pina coladas. And now the only time they could get the room was 10:30 at night, which was a whole new element, which meant it was important for me to go and be awkward introducing myself to these people so they'd come to my keynote and I wouldn't be in that ice arena by myself.
Yes, you heard right. Ice arena.
Yes. So this is, and they didn't even give me skates.
Right. This is a speaker story.
This is, as my dad would say, it grows hair on my chest. But anyway, all that aside, I had an incredible opportunity to connect with all of these teachers. Even though they're outside my industry, we have a similar need to connect with an audience. And so I had some really cool conversations about engagement with them that really helped me engage better in my speeches. So even if you're going to an event outside of your industry, like a BNI meeting or a chamber networking event or, you know, a small business event or whatever. Even if it's outside your industry, there's incredible benefits you can get from having those connections.
Absolutely. And it's an incredible skill to have, right?
I just went down a rabbit hole.
That was more like, you know, we got ground squirrels in my backyard, and when I dig, I'll run into their warrens, and that's about what that was a squirrel warren. It was just all over the damn place, but that's okay. Because our listeners are following you, and that just scares me more than you can realize.
They're my people, Dave.
They are your peeps. And, you know, that actually brings back to, I said, you know, remind me to tell you why they're not competitors. And so Ann just held up, why is it not a competitor? The reality is, in any business, and we talk about this in the speaking business all the time, right? Because Ann and I both talk about leadership. You hear us. We have basically the same concepts, right? But Ann is not me. And anyone who's listened to this, well, anyone who's still listening to this show now, even if it's your first time, you figured that out real fast.
You can even see a picture of us and know that's not true. Right. We don't true.
It is true, right, Ann?
It's true.
She is my sister from another mother. That doesn't work as much as brother from another mother.
Sister from another mister.
Well, that implies the same mother, and we don't have that either.
Yeah, but it would be a genetic mix-up one way or the other.
Yeah, I'm confused. At any rate.
That's usual.
But even though we effectively teach the same things from different perspectives, they're different perspectives. And so somebody could hear me and then bring Ann in the next year, get the exact same information completely differently and learn something different, even if she's saying the same words that I'm saying. Right, because she's has her stories and it's her stuff, et cetera. You go, okay, well, that's speaking. That's, you know, that's expertise. When I was in the moving business, right, my company had our expertise and we appealed to a certain clientele. We had competitors that appealed to other clientele that was not ours. Okay. And competitors, of course, are an air quote. And we supported each other all the time because at the end of the day for us, it was about getting the shipper, and that's what in the industry we call the client, the person whose possessions were moving from point A to point B, was getting the shipper relocated successfully. That's what we all cared about. Mm-hmm.
And when we stop nickel and diming, we end up making a lot more money. That's, you know.
Yeah, there is certainly, from a business perspective, right? I remember years ago, I was in high school and then, you know, graduated. I was working at a pizza place and I was there and somebody came in to talk to the general manager and the owner, and they were saying, hey, this competitor, Piccolo's Pizza, I worked for a place called Station Pizza, Piccolo's Pizza, they did, and I don't remember the number, they did $30,000 last night on a Saturday night, and we had done 1500. And of course, Piccolo's is a much bigger location. And the owner, Butch, says, I don't care what Piccolo's did. We killed it. For us, mm-hmm. we killed it, right? It's not about what the other guys do. Don't focus on that. They're mm-hmm. not competitors. Support them. They'll support you. And if they don't, they don't.
Right. Right. And if we're being authentic in our branding, whatever our branding is, we're going to attract those different customers. And by making those connections, we can also find best practices, things that work for them that might work for us. And this is what I've found with cross-industry connections, even more so, getting outside of it. And this was when I was in teaching, you know, going and talking to adult trainers, going and talking to, you know, internal professional development people. It was a little bit different than my second grade special ed kids. But in the end of the day, I got great information that I could massage and say, oh my gosh, we've never tried that. Boom, let's try it. Let's see if it works.
Well, you know, people talk about thinking outside of the box. There's actually no such thing as thinking outside of the box, because thinking outside the box is your sum of your experiences. What thinking outside the box is when I take somebody else's experience and apply them to mine.
Peeking in their box.
Right.
Which sounds inappropriate, but it totally isn't.
Well, no, it sounds inappropriate. Yes, but you're right. You know, ask for permission first. And again, we did that. I remember when I was in a BNI chapter, and one of my clients was a managed service provider for IT services. And one of our BNI members was a managed service provider for IT services. Again, think competitors, but I would be able to give referrals all the time because my client did not do what they call in the industry break fix, hourly time and material work. You're either a client paying a retainer every month or you're not, and they don't deal with you. So when they had needs come up from people who would contact them and say, hey, I need this problem solved, and they wouldn't want to become a client, my client would allow me to turn it over to this BNI partner of mine who would handle that kind of work.
Right. And I mean, and this is, as I talk about saying no, when I'm talking about difficult conversations, one of the most challenging things we have is saying no. And one of the most challenging things to say to a client is, no, we don't do that. But by being able to offer them an alternative, you're saying, no, we don't do that. And I care about you and want this problem to help you solve this problem. So here's another opportunity. And if I didn't have those connections, I couldn't make that connection.
Yeah. Well, thanks for connecting that.
I'll let you use words twice in a sentence or more.
We'll just call you Vice President Harrison.
Oh, thanks. Mind. Going a little political dig there. Let's move on.
Well, it wasn't really political. I mean, if
you and Mike are going to have fun talking this weekend.
If you've ever heard her speeches, you know exactly what I'm referring to. It has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with her speech writing. And speaking as a speaker, she really needs to,
which you often do.
She really needs to join the National Speakers Association or at least Toastmasters. Yeah. So I think, you know, again, just to bring this full circle, going and participating in industry events, conferences, conventions, trade shows, all of the above in whatever format, making those connections, you want to take your business, your leadership, your team to a new level. That's a great place to start.
Yeah. And going in with an intention, you know, making sure, because sometimes they're expensive. And so, you know, you want to learn certain things, you want to make certain connections, and going in with those plans can really help you maximize the amount of money that you're spending.
So what's your plan for this week or weekend?
Really? I'm doing a lot of volunteering. I have 2 volunteer shifts for the National Association and 2 for my chapter. So I'm going to be, and I love that at networking events because I'm just awkward and I'll hang out with the people I know and never meet anybody new.
Time out. You can, folks, I'm doing the big time out thing.
You are doing the big time out thing. A tea with your hands. Why?
Awkward? You?
Dude, I do it because I know how, but I would much rather go and hang out with the people I know and have a comfortable conversation and a glass of wine than walking up to somebody I don't know, because one time, and we always remember the one time rather than the 78 times that it went well. But one time I walked up to somebody and I was like, hey, I really like this and this philosophy. I watched this podcast. She was like, oh, thanks.
So,
and looked at me as though, why are you here talking to me, you peasant?
So this is a really interesting subject. And I was getting ready to wrap up this podcast thinking we've just about sputtered out.
I scratched a new surface.
And I wonder if this might make sense for our next one, because 2 things come to mind. 1, Anne just revealed, although those of you who are listening, and I know because I get the feedback, say, she's the funny one, she's the gregarious one, right? I'm just the straight guy that sets her up. I'd say makes her look good, but she doesn't need any help with that. And she's turning bright pink, which matches her orange hair just phenomenally, right? And yet she... And she just shared with us, after giving all these phenomenal tips on how to connect with people, how uncomfortable it is for her. And I want you to sit and hear that, because you're probably thinking, oh, it's easy for Anne to say that. She's just Miss Out There. But she just revealed that's not the case. You may also be thinking, yeah, Dave, but I know you're also, I'm going to share another secret. I'm not always comfortable doing it either. I am practiced at doing it. And certainly there are times when it's easier and times when it's more difficult. Mm-hmm. There's always just that little bit, like you know, I've shared with you my, Ann, do you go by Ann? Is that short for something? Or is that right? My name thing. And every time I do that, I go like, shit, is this going to work?
Mm.
You know, or every time I say to somebody, what were you doing before? Well, one of my other go-to questions, right? How long have you been doing that?
Or if somebody says, my name is Bartholomew, and suddenly the, is that short for something, doesn't really work. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, in that case, I go, do you go by Bart or do you like people to call you Bartholomew, right? So you switch it around. You got to go back, listen to that podcast. I talk about names. But my point is, it's always, there's always a degree of awkwardness. Sometimes it's greater, sometimes it's less, depending on my energy state and a lot of other things that go on. Like, folks, my point here is simple. If you're feeling, oh, this is easier for you to do, it's not. Well, it's easier than it was 10 years ago because I practiced over the last 10 years and it still always has that, just that shimmer of awkwardness. Or there's times where I'm like, you know, I'd rather, and I've done this. I'm like, I should go meet somebody new. Oh, there's Ann. I'll meet somebody new later.
Yeah. Maybe she'll introduce me to somebody accidentally.
And you just completely cut out.
I know.
Was that intense? You're back now.
I know. I think my microphone was like, you're talking too loud, lady.
It would have done that a long time ago.
Well, we're talking too much.
I think that quota passed like 100 episodes ago.
You can talk to my mom on that one. But anyway.
So yeah, maybe next week, let's talk about, you know, overcoming the shyness and, you know, and I just want to submit this to you as a teaser for next week to explore. Maybe the person who you were gushing over was less about, you know, who are you, Pion, to talk to me, and more about who am I for you to feel that way about?
Well, you know, and that's an excellent thing. And we will bring that up in the next episode of how much of it is my own internal dialogue saying I don't deserve to talk to this person and how much of it is their thing of I'm awkward with this too. And I don't know what to say because you just gave me a compliment. So
exactly. So if you're curious how to deal with those situations, or even if you're not curious, come back anyway, listen to us next time.
Because we're fun. Thanks for listening, everyone.
That concludes another episode of Disarming Persuasion. This is Dave Rosenberg, and you can find my website at lockedonleadership.com.
And this is Ann Bonney at yourchangespeaker.com.
Remember, if they fail to make a decision, you failed to disarm them.